Hey, Matt, do you know people hate advertisements in their podcasts?
That's not true. That can't be true. That's not true.
I don't think it's true because we have advertisements in our podcast like Amazon.com, and people love our podcast and they never say anything about the ads.
Well, they love Amazon.com too, because who doesn't?
True. I mean, you could, for example, you can go to predictablydrunk.com and click on the Amazon link. It'll take you to Amazon.com and you can do all of your regular shopping with no hidden fees or no, you know, extra charges or anything like that. But, you know, it's crazy to me that people think that they don't like advertisements. Like, how do they think that we actually do all this? Like, how can we afford all that beer that we're going to review here in a couple of minutes without having advertising money that's rolling in from places like Amazon.com?
This is how the economy works, people. It's a goddamn shame that we're having to explain it to you this late in the game. Sponsorship equals money, money equals beer, beer equals this show that you love so much. Get it together. Click on the link, go to Amazon, shop your face off. The holidays are coming up. Shop your face off twice. Amazon.com, great sponsor.
Exactly. And you can get there by going to predictablydrunk.com. And basically, you guys can go buy economics books and figure out how the world works, because you guys that don't like advertising and commercials need to read something. And I guarantee there's probably an ad in those books that you're going to buy on Amazon.com by way of predictablydrunk.com.
Also, buy me something.
Buy Matt something. You should buy Matt something. And you know what? Buy me something, too. Buy Sam and Matt something.
We're so giving.
Amazon. Yeah, we give you free content. We give you recommendations on beer.
Give back.
We talk about movies and stupid drunken news and bring you interviews with people. It's a fantastic show. And all we ask is that you go to predictablydrunk.com, click on the link, and go do your shopping like you normally would. No hidden fees, no extra charges. All they do is give us a couple extra dollars off all the money that you spend over there because we reminded you to do your shopping. That's it. That's all you got to do.
We love you. Please do that.
Now that it's over, we can go on to the show, and you're only going to hear like one more commercial, and then you're going to get like an hour's worth of content.
Yeah.
So let's just play the music. Let's find Ross Baker, let him do his announcement, and then we'll get the show started.
You're listening to Predictably Drunk, smart people talking about stupid things with your host, Sam Marcoux. And Matt Somerville.
Thank you, Ross Baker. And my apologies to Ross Baker. I was just in Reno, Nevada, where Ross Baker dwells, where he lays his head at night. And I did not get a chance to run into him, Matt. We talked a little bit. We tried to make it happen. But the host of Predictably Drunk, smart people talking about stupid things, could not figure it out and line it up with the announcer of Predictably Drunk, smart people talking about stupid things. And here we are, not talking once again. So my apologies, Ross. However, I am talking to Matt, as I mentioned. Matt, how are you?
I'm not sorry, is how I am.
Yeah, you don't like Ross, man. You know what? It's going to be funny one day. You two are actually going to meet in person, and you're going to be best of friends, or we're going to film, you know, a new version of bum fights between you two.
That's fine. I think the funny thing is that I don't know him and I still hate him. It doesn't make any sense, but I have to stick to my story. So go fuck yourself, Ross Baker. I would not come visit you if I was in Reno either.
It's funny. I mean, Ross is like one of the nicest guys ever. I met him at a comedy show, and I was like, you have an amazing voice. Do you mind if I shove this microphone into your face and force you to record stuff for my show? And he's like, sure, no problem.
He's so cool. He's so cool. I wish he dies.
Well, hey, this is Predictably Drunk. This is the show that you guys listen to. I want to thank everybody for listening to the show. This show is almost 2 years old now. It's like a little baby. It's a little bit older than Matt's child, Mr. Jack over there, who is part of the reason why, not the only reason, and yes, I'm going to blame a child, part of the reason why we haven't been releasing so many episodes here recently. The other reason is quite frankly, we're busy as hell. Matt is making blockbuster movies down in Hollywood. I'm making people laugh everywhere here in the Bay Area and other places, and we're just super busy. So you guys will get episodes as we release them. This episode here is episode 4 of season 3. You guys have already listened to episode 3, which is where Matt and I made our cases to be president. If you haven't listened to that, go back and listen to it. It's one of it's one of my favorite episodes we've recorded. I hated it at the time of recording it, but on playback, I loved it, Matt. So congratulations to you.
I don't listen to our podcast, but that's one that I might listen to that. I think the last one I listened to, which we may, folks, we may be revisiting this year, Hatesgiving. I think that was the last one of ours that I have actually listened to. I'm not a fan of the show. And to be clear also, you know, as far as Sam saying we're busy as shit. Let's lay that down on the table. But I also understand the audience's perspective, as far as two guys who sit around drinking and bullshitting on microphones for about an hour a week. It would not seem the case, but I promise you, Sam is probably the busiest guy I know, and I'm probably the busiest guy he knows, or top five. We are up to some shit.
Yeah, we have fired each other from the show multiple times just because, like, selfishly, the other person wasn't ready to record when the other person, you know, was ready. And it was like, that guy has no time. He doesn't have his priorities correct. And then the next day, the other one was saying the exact same thing about the other one. And it's just how it goes. But we are here now, and I don't think people want to listen to excuses. They want to hear hard-hitting news, from stupid drunken news, Matt, to happy hour, which we're actually going to go – to happy hour here in a little bit. We have an interview with Chris Cullen. Now, I know what you're thinking. Everyone was like, who in the hell is Chris Cullen? And Chris Cullen, Matt, and Matt didn't know this. This is kind of funny. I was talking to him about this the other day. Chris Cullen is my other podcast co-host.
Oh, yeah. That's right. And no, it's not that I didn't know that Chris Cullen was the host. I didn't know that Sam had another podcast. Like that, yeah. It went all the way back to that.
Yeah, I started another podcast called Perfectville in January of this year, and it is a Miami Dolphins, like hardcore Miami Dolphins podcast. We talk about everything from the quarterback down to the punter to the uniforms to the name of the stadium. I mean, it is a dedicated, hardcore Miami Dolphins fan-based podcast with this guy, Chris Cullen, who has been in the radio industry forever, played college football. We're going to talk a little bit about it in the interview here in a little while, Matt, but this guy is one of those guys that, like, If it was a blizzard, he would walk outside and find the one area where it was sunny. Like, the guy's always in the right place at the right time. He's got some, he's got some crazy stories. Like, you don't follow sports as closely as I do, but there was a big controversy years ago, when Tim Hardaway, who was a former Golden State Warrior, for all the people here locally, beloved figure in basketball here in Northern California. Well, Chris happened to be working the phones for a show called The Dan Le Batard Show. And Dan Le Batard now is one of the biggest names in sports journalism in the United States. But at the time, he just had a local show down in Miami, Florida. And Chris was interning there and happened to be working the phones the day that Tim Hardaway decided to just blast gay people across the board on radio. Matter of fact, this interview is the one that basically put Dan Le Batard on the map, because Dan recognized what was going on and started basically setting up questions to make Tim look even worse than he was already making himself look. And Chris was the guy that basically had to make all those phone calls before and afterwards.
That's a tough job.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting. So he's got some interesting stories. He was a thrill caster. You'll hear a little bit more about what a thrill caster is in that interview as well.
Speaking of Tim Hardaway, Chris Cullen rhymes with Chris Mullen.
Also true. Chris Mullen being Tim Hardaway's teammate here in Warrior Land here, Golden State Warrior Land. So,
and the whitest person to live ever.
Whitest person ever, and it has the deepest voice ever. Have you ever heard Chris Mullen talk?
No.
It's like Herman Munster talking to you. It's like the craziest thing. And you think, okay, he should. He's like 6'8". You know, he's a big dude. He's an athlete. He should have a deep, deep baritone voice, but it doesn't match the face when you see it. It's a New York accent, but with like Herman Munster's baritone, bassy voice.
It's like the Barry Manilow of white people who also play basketball. He's a lot of contradictions.
Yeah, it's really weird, and we're talking more about basketball than I ever thought imaginable.
No, we should stop. We should stop.
Very,
you're right.
Very
we'll
much
move
stop.
On.
We'll move on. Yeah,
I said movie on. I can't wait for my movie section. I think I said movie on, but we'll get to that. Let's go to what's on tap. What are you drinking tonight, Sam?
Well, I am drinking Celebration IPA from Sierra Nevada. I may have actually already reviewed this beer on this show.
I don't listen. I don't know.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I'm sure I did. But for those, all the new listeners that are out there, first of all, thank you for picking up the show, Predictably Drunk. But Celebration ale comes out around this time of year from Sierra Nevada. I am not the biggest Sierra Nevada fan. Most people know that. I want to like them because they're here in Northern California. I drink their stuff a lot, hoping to like it. And more often than not, I'm kind of disappointed. But this is a seasonal ale, comes out right at the last 3 to 4 months of the year, late September, mid-October. And it's probably the best thing Sierra Nevada makes. It's a fresh hop IPA. I think it's like 6.8% alcohol. I used to, in my youth, Matt, I used to get kegs of this stuff and play beer pong with it, which for anybody that knows anything about beer pong, you're really going for quantity over quality. And you kind of want to go with a lesser alcoholic beer.
If you're a pussy.
Well, look, 7% in terms of chugging alcohol, in terms of chugging beer anyways, it starts to get a little thick. And what goes down thick basically comes up thick. So
that's true.
As much as I love this beer, as much as I recommend you going out and drinking one or two of them, especially here in the wintertime, I don't recommend it for beer pong. It is not meant for that. It's definitely something that you eat with like turkey, you know, right around Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Eat a nice turkey, sandwich the day after Thanksgiving, and then wash it down with a celebration ale. I mean, that's the best way you can do this. So it is definitely a seasonal ale. It only comes out last half of the year. Keeps you warm when it's cold outside. It's a beautiful little beer here from Sierra Nevada. And again, I'm not the biggest fan of Sierra Nevada, so it must mean something if I like it.
And then I think that's why we get along, because I am typically not a fan of Sierra Nevada either. It just tastes like... I'm not going to get into it. I am going to get into the beer that I am drinking tonight. And it's a special beer. It's a very special beer. But I'm going to try to make a long story short. Basically, I've been to Oregon a few times. I always go to Portland. Out of Portland is Voodoo Donuts. And out of Astoria, Oregon, which is the tippy top left corner of Oregon, it's a little place called Astoria. They are the home of Rogue beer. And Rogue and Voodoo teamed up to make a line of donut flavored beers. Now, this sounds fucked up and gross. In some cases, it is. In this case, it might be for a lot of people. I consider their Rogue Voodoo Bacon Maple Beer, it's a special treat. It's like a dessert wine. You're not going to get it in a huge bottle, even though you get it in a huge bottle, but you're meant to consume this kind of thing very slowly and methodically, as you're meant to consume a dessert wine. You go chugging this thing and you will vomit everywhere. It really does taste like sweet and savory bacon and maple syrup. And in small doses, it's great. In small sips, it's great. But you would not play beer pong with it, for instance.
Right.
So I give it a thumbs up if you drink it the way it's meant to be drank. And as far as the other ones on that line, I haven't tried them all, but I think the ones that I respond to the most are along the lines of the chocolate banana peanut butter or the pretzel raspberry chocolate. Those are an incredible darks, delicious, not too much in any one direction, just a nice heavy dark that it basically most of the time tastes like chocolate or different variations of chocolate.
There's something weird. There's something intriguing about that. And Rogue is one of those breweries that I really like a lot. I think they make Dead Guy Ale, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. I actually have one of their signature glasses in my kitchen. But there's something weird about pairing up beer with a food that is traditionally eaten at breakfast. You know what I mean? It's like
people or for us?
Well, I think just in general, I'm trying to pretend I'm a human being for once. And
right,
I think it's a little bit weird. It would be like having a bacon and eggs beer. You know what I mean? Like, it just doesn't seem like it would work. Now, don't get me wrong. I've definitely had a beer at breakfast every now and then. But it's weird to pair it up with a breakfast food. Now, having said that, maple is delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Bacon is delicious.
No doubt.
Donuts are delicious. And beer in general is fucking delicious. So
that work out?
Yeah, it seems to me like it should work.
And it does. It does. You just have to be careful about it. You have to respect the beer. You can't go pounding this thing. It's not a Coors Light. You just it's a sipper. It's a social. It's a dinner party beer.
Zip your zipper and sip your sipper is what Matt is saying over there as it comes to a Rogue Maple Bacon Stout Bar. What the hell was that name of that beer again?
It's just Rogue Voodoo Bacon Maple Beer.
I like how you said it's just like I screwed it up and it was not a five-word beer.
It was a book-length beer title.
So there you go. We got a thumbs couple up. Of – yeah, I think we got both have thumbs up. I mean, these are kind of – you know, again, Celebration's probably a little more mainstream than the beer that Matt brought out there. Sure. But, you know, if you like that type of stuff, if you're looking to get a little bit weird, I mean, Rogue, you can probably find Rogue pretty much countrywide, nationwide. And yeah, I know you BevMo. Can find Sierra everywhere. Yeah, I mean, just go to BevMo. You're right. And you guys should be able to find that. Check it out. Seek for yourself both of those, Celebration Ale from Sierra Nevada as well as Rogue's Voodoo, whatever that was. So there'll be a link for it in the podcast, in the body of this podcast here in the description. And there you go. That was Happy Hour. Actually, no, that was What's on Tap. I can't remember our own segments here. And now, speaking of segments that I somewhat forget, we're going to have – I want like theme music for this or some sort of an official announcement. We do have a new segment, a fourth segment that we've introduced to the show. It is a permanent fixture of the show, something that Matt brought to the table, and I love it, and it's called Matt Says a Movie Thing.
Yeah.
And Matt, why don't you explain to the audience what Matt Says a Movie Thing is?
It's Matt saying a movie thing that you should do as well.
There you go. It is basically a movie recommendation or non-recommendation, if you will. Matt is in the movie industry. He is our Hollywood insider. He works on movies. He's best friends with Harrison Ford, as well as some other folks down there in Hollywood. So he knows of what he speaks right now. So, Matt, what do you got for us this week?
Some of those things may or may not be true, just to be clear. You know, I do this thing every single fucking year. During the I know Halloween's over, okay, but I do this every year where the entire month of October I'm like, I'm gonna watch a horror movie every night. That was especially untrue this year, having a child and many job and work and creative things going on at the same time. But I always get to the end of Halloween, the end of October, and I'm so disappointed with myself. I watched exactly 2.5 horror movies over the course of 31 days. I'm so ashamed of myself. And I do this last-ditch effort, which lasts for like 2 weeks in November, to attempt to watch even more horror movies, even though it's no longer appropriate. So I'm just gonna do one more. It's not necessarily Halloween-themed because it's gone, it's over. I can accept that. I know that. And I understand that. But it's still a horror movie. It's still a fun one. There's a bit of comedy in there. If you're from California, which I'm sure many of you are, there's a little bit of California culture, a little bit of pride in there. It's called The Lost Boys. It was an 80s film. It was vampires. But, and this is going to sound dated, but at the time, it was more of a modernized vampire story. Much like something like Near Dark did in the 80s. It was like teenager vampires. It was more of a kid's story, but not a kid's movie. Plenty of violence, plenty of horror, plenty of comedy, starring the Coreys, huge staple of the 80s, Jason Patrick. We had Kiefer Sutherland in there, Alex Winter, who is one half of the Bill and Ted duo. What's her fucking face? Diane Weiss is in there. Great cast, stellar music, hilarious one-liners that live on and on and on and on and still hold up today. Death by Stereo. Bands have been named after one-liners in that film. It's such a fun movie. It's a way to understand and accept that Halloween is gone. But, you know, if you're still feeling like, I didn't do it right this year, as I do every year, like Matt Somerville, I can at least send 2016 Halloween off with one last fun horror movie. Lost Boys, check it out.
And for the younger listeners out there who only know the sparkly vampires of the last 15, 20 years, if
Eat
you want to know... If you want to know where that origin happened, the pussification of vampires in movies started with The Lost Boys, if I'm not mistaken. That was the first time I can ever remember seeing very emotional vampires in movies and very conflicted vampires. Matt, don't get me wrong, I like the movie, but that one opened up the genre to basically pussy vampires, as far as I'm concerned.
No, I disagree. I mean, okay. Alex Winter, Mr. Is it Bill or I can never remember, but he's one of them. He was a very pretty vampire. But they were actually more 80s punk rock type vampires. They had their earrings and they had their mullets and they had their duster jackets, which was all very fucking cool in Santa Cruz in the 80s. That was the thing. By the way, for those who haven't seen it, it was shot entirely. Almost entirely. There was some stage work, of course, but a lot of the movie was shot in Santa Cruz, California, doubled as Fuck My Life, California. I cannot remember the fake town that they named the place in the movie, but they did not call it Santa Cruz for whatever reason. But the boardwalk is in there. The beach is in there. All really great locations are in there. It's such a fun movie. Just watch it and shut up.
I think it was called Pussy Vampireville. Got it. If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
I think that was the double. I mean, they wore skinny jeans and had hairspray, poofy hair and shit. I mean, there's a little bit of, you know,
you
the
just
birthing.
Don't go comparing it to Twilight, please. That's horrible.
It's like the great ancestor of Twilight. Look, like I probably had ancestors that did bad things in their lives, and I'm not bad, and I'm sure there's people that have done bad things and their ancestors were good and had good intentions, but they led them down a path of, you know, depravity, and that's what Lost Boys did. It basically opened up this entire genre of emo into your horror vampire flicks, and you know that's it is what it is, but. Anyway, there you go. Matt says a movie thing. The Lost Boys. Check it out. It is a good movie. You know, if you like it's vampire fun. Movies and you like 80s, you know, glam
80s
rock
culture.
And shit like that.
Yep.
Yeah. It's there right there for you. So, well, there you go. And we're going to take you to that Chris Cullen interview that I was talking about here a little bit earlier. It's kind of funny. One of the things that Chris does, Matt, is he messes up names like nobody's business. Uh-oh. This guy, we could be talking about a player on the Miami Dolphins on our other podcast, Perfectville, for 30 minutes. And then in the 31st minute, all of a sudden, he just can't remember the guy's name and just makes up another name for the guy.
Nice.
Yeah, it's just one of the things that he does. It's one of his little quirks. And you're going to hear it in this interview. We're talking about John Amici, who was the first openly gay basketball player to come out, at least in terms of NBA. And he keeps calling him John Amini. And I didn't correct him because, quite frankly, I don't remember the guy's name. But we recorded this interview, and then afterwards he sends me a text, and he's like, dude, I think the guy's name's John Amici, not John Amini. Which, it's classic Chris. I'm like, I'm not going to re-record. I'm not going to edit that. That's how we're going to keep it, and we'll just, you know, throw a buffer in there before the interview happens.
Isn't everyone who plays basketball gay? Isn't that the thing?
I think they were vampires in Santa Cruz to start their career. Yeah, I think you're right. Anyway, I hate you too. This is why this show works so well. Mm-hmm. Smart people hating about stupid things. But anyway, stick around for the interview and then come back afterwards because I have in stupid drunken news, I have a man who is going to jail after attacking another man with a sausage. So, yeah, you're going to want to hear this story. It is the very definition of stupid in stupid drunken news. So here's my conversation with Chris Cullen and then we'll come back afterwards. All right, welcome to Happy Hour. I'm sitting here with Chris Cullen, and I know a lot of you people are going, who the hell is Chris Cullen? But Chris Cullen is my co-host on my other podcast called Perfectville, which is a hardcore, very popular Miami Dolphins fan podcast. I asked Chris to come on here. We were just talking about – he was asking me some questions off the air about my comedy career and how it started, and I was just kind of retelling a story that I've told on this podcast before, but kind of got into the details of the first or second time I was you know, new to stand. The first or second time I was on stage, Matt, the co-host of Predictably Drunk, along with me, was working for Dane Cook. And I had mentioned that Dane Cook had basically given me some advice early, super early in my career, which essentially, if he hadn't done that, Chris, I don't think I would have continued, just because it was so strange and bizarre for me to get this advice from such a big name within the comedy world, whether you like him or not, which I think all that shit about him was overblown. I kind of really do feel that way now. But he kind of kept me going early in my career. And you started telling me a story about when you worked for Dan Le Batard down in Miami, Florida.
Yeah, well, and that's where it starts. So I failed out of college. Like, I played football in college.
By the way, we get along so well, by the way. So, yeah. Chris failed out of college. I failed to go to college. So there you go.
I get a scholarship to go to college, play football. It's not for me. It's more like a job. And I'm more along the lines of like getting these guys paid. It is such a job. And I went to Division II. So I won't even get into that. But and so I went back home to South Florida, and I go to community college. I go to Connecticut School of Broadcasting. It is a Kaiser College, a Phoenix type school, like this kind of uncredited. But maybe if you get a degree from there, they know somebody, so you can network and get you a job in radio. And what happened was, I was going there. I was maybe done 3/4 of my credits at Connecticut School of Broadcasting. And I took it upon myself to email 790 The Ticket, Mark Hockman, the executive producer for the Dan Le Batard Show. And I said, hey, I will jump out of an airplane with a parachute with your radio station's logo, like 790 The Ticket, AM, whatever you need, just to get an opportunity to get in a door. Because once I get in, I know I'll just show my stuff.
And for people that don't know the local broadcasting out there in South Florida, that's a big sports radio station, correct?
Yeah, huge. 790 The Ticket is big. 560 WQAM is their competitors right across the street. I mean, literally across the street. So 790 is Lincoln Media at that moment. And Mark Hockman, executive producer at that time of the Dan Le Batard Show, emails me and says, man, radio is all about timing. So great timing. Mike Ryan, who was just our intern, just got promoted to producer, and we need an intern. Can you come meet me tomorrow at the station next to Dolphin Stadium? I want to meet you. And all I did was tell him I was at Connecticut School of Broadcasting. I want to do this so bad, blah, blah, blah. So I end up going there, interviewing them, meeting, whatever, and they offer me on the spot. Say I'm great on the phones, I'm great screening calls, and working on the wheat board. And the wheat board is the board that when you hear a segment on the radio go from a guy talking to a commercial, that's somebody potting down the host and potting up a commercial. That's a wheat board. So I was very good with that in my training, Connecticut School of Broadcasting. Now, keep in mind, I haven't graduated yet. I already got this internship.
Also keep in mind, not to cut you off because it's a fascinating story, but Chris is starting to slur his words a little bit, and this is Predictably Drunk, so I would be remiss if I did not bring up the fact that you are not exactly sober right now as we're talking on this interview, correct?
Oh, sorry, I was just swallowing
taking
some
a
beer.
Drink of some beer.
No.
So what are we drinking? Because we review craft beer here at the beginning of the show, what we call What's on Tap, and then we go into this happy hour thing, which we're doing right now with you. But what are you drinking? Are you drinking craft beer? Are you just being like total, went to the grocery store, bought myself some corporate beer, and chugging it for quantity over quality?
100% the latter. It is Thursday night. I have tomorrow off, and it's Veterans Day, and I've got the aluminum bottle of Coors Lights that were $12.99 for a 15 pack for 16 ounce.
Wow, that's actually cheap as shit.
It's very cheap. Exactly.
That's less than a dollar a beer. I do that too, actually. That's a good decision. Yeah,
that's what I do. I have a couple of those and have a good night.
See, just like Hockman said, timing is everything. You're walking through and they're like, I could get more beer for less money. Hell yeah, I'm doing that. So, and that's kind of the thing with Chris. And that's why I want Chris on the show here today, because we're talking about his internship with Dan Le Batard. And if you don't know Dan Le Batard, he's probably, I would say top five in the country when it comes to sports media personality. Wouldn't you say he's got his own show on ESPN? He's got radio gigs. He's writing for, I think, the Miami Herald or Sun Sentinel or one of those local papers down there in Miami. The guy is just – he's one of those guys that you see when you turn on ESPN. He's got the opinions. He's always, you know, the contrarian for the most part from the rest of the national media. But he's a big-time name when it comes to sports media. And you were interning for him. Like you said, timing is everything. And I told Matt earlier, Chris, that you are the type of guy that in a blizzard would walk outside and find the ray of sunshine, meaning your timing in life just – I mean, it's incredible sometimes. Some of the things that have come up that you've been able to do in, if you want to call it the entertainment world or however you want to, you know – phrase it. It's incredible because it really just has to do with you kind of taking it upon yourself to make shit happen and just kind of happen to knock on the door at the right time when somebody was looking for somebody to knock on the door. So, and some of the stories that you have are crazy, which we're going to get into. I want to talk to you about the Tim Hardaway thing, but so you start interning, you're doing the wheat board, you're screening calls. And how long were you doing this at the Dan Le Batard show?
A few months. I was in there, and the cool thing was is I would get there really early before the show started. So Sid Rosenberg's show would still be going on, and he called me Colin Quinn, which if you're a big Saturday Night Live fan or live remote control, whatever it was, with Colin Quinn, but a great comedian, Colin Quinn. And my name is Chris Cullen, so he'd call me Colin Quinn, and he would just randomly – I'd be in the back studio producing stuff, getting sound bites ready for the Le Batard show, the next show up, and I would hear over the live radio would be playing, somebody go get me Colin Quinn, I want to ask him his thoughts on this. And he'd bring me in the studio and he'd just ask me, and I'll never forget Sid Rosenberg saying, what do you want to do? I want to be a radio host like you. And he said, bad idea. Don't you do it. Don't you fucking do it. Do you have a girlfriend? I'm like, yeah, I have a girlfriend who is now my wife, whom we have a child for a decade. He was like, don't you do it. You don't want to do it. Get out of this. It's terrible, horrible. Don't do it. And it was just funny, just like living that life in that industry.
All right, well, Sid's not so bad. He's smart. He was onto something. It's a dying medium. Podcasting is where it's at, bitches. Anyway, okay, so you're working there. Sid gets you on the air, so you're getting a little bit of air time, and you have natural timing, and not just in life, but also in comic, you know, in comedy. You and I don't rehearse anything before we go on the air for our podcast. Right. I pretty much just say, okay, the mics are hot, here we go, and you just pretty much pick up whatever I drop down, and vice versa. And it's a credit to you as to what you're able to do. I want to get to the meat of it. I mean, this to me. This story that we're about to tell about Tim Hardaway, famous NBA, former NBA star for the Golden State Warriors, Miami Heat, as well as some other teams, is pretty much, in my opinion, what put Dan Le Batard on the map was this story. This is the story that, when it broke, made Dan Le Batard a household name from Miami to Seattle and everywhere in between, because it was such a controversial topic at the time. And I guess in some degree here in 2016, it still would be. But of course, I'm talking about when Tim Hardaway went on the Dan Le Batard show and started basically bashing gays. And you were actually working that night, correct? Or that day?
I was working that day. It was actually a very normal day, I guess you can say. And they said, hey, Chris, will you call Tim? Let him know when he's coming on the air and get him scheduled. So I was the intern, so I called Tim. I had a cell phone number. I called him from the station and said, hey, it's Chris from the Dan Le Batard show. Just want to let you know this is what we're going to talk about when you come on the show. And at that moment in time, that's when John Amini had just come out and said that he's gay. And it was a big deal because it was the first professional athlete that had come out. Even though he had not been playing, he's retired. And Dan wanted to ask Tim. He was very, like you said, contrarian. He really wanted to get that controversy and spike the numbers. So he wanted to say, hey, Tim, what do you think if you played with a guy that came out when you were playing?
So, yeah, just to clarify, John Amici, Chris.
How are we really doing that again?
John Amici. Sorry. No, that's what you do. That's one of the things I love about Chris is we could be talking about a player for 30 minutes, and then after 30 minutes, I'm like, you know what? He didn't even call that guy by his name the entire time. Like, there's a guy in the Miami Dolphins named Jermaine Bushrod, and Chris knows his name is Jermaine Bushrod, but for whatever reason calls him Jerome. Yeah. Every single time. But John Amici was a former NBA player at this time, but he came out as being gay after his playing career was over. But he was such a big like trailblazer in terms of sports players.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, coming out saying, hey, look, I'm gay and I've always been gay and I play in the NBA as a gay guy and I'm not the first one, I'm not the only one, and I'm not the last one. But at the time, it was a huge, huge story. And people were talking about it everywhere. And then, yeah, so that's just to set the scene. You know, Dan now starts asking Tim, what are your thoughts if you were to play with a gay guy, you know, in the locker room, basically? And what was Tim's response?
First thing he asked him, and Tim said, you don't want to ask me that, Dan. And he's like, well, yeah, I do. Like, what would you do if John Amini was your teammate and he came out in the closet and the next day your teammate's in a locker room and you got to go shower or whatever, the game's over? And Tim said the most infamous thing he could. Great player for the Miami Heat. Loved Tim Hardaway with Alonzo Mourning. But he came out and he said, and I quote, he doesn't want to do that. I hate gay people. And that was mind-blowing. Because before 2006, he was like you said, he was a trailblazer. John Amini was the first one to come out. First professional athlete that came out before, during, or after. No one has done it. He did it. He was after. So that means all those guys, oh no, that shared the locker room with him for 14 years, 10 years, however long he played in the NBA, share a locker room with a gay player. And they didn't know it then, so it probably didn't bother them. And now that they know, who knows? But that was a trailblazer for sure. And Tim Hardaway coming out and say that set the floodgates. He got banned from the All-Star game. He got banned from any NBA Hall of Fame speeches, anything. And it really changed the outlook of him as a player. Unfortunately, because he was a great guy and a great player, his time for the Miami Heat.
Oh, I mean, and you look at Tim Hardaway is best known for being on the Golden State Warriors. And then I would say the second most popular time of his career was on the Miami Heat. And those two areas, you're talking about the San Francisco Bay Area and South Florida, you know, those are pretty much hot
capitals
for, you know, the East Coast, West Coast centers for gay people, right? Like it's a haven for people to go there. Culturally, it's very accepting. People don't really care about your sexual orientation. So for him to have two fan bases that are basically steeped with gay men, you know, they have to be in there. They have to be, you know, fans of his, or at least were. For him to go on a show like Dan Le Batard's, which is going to get nationally picked up after that story, and just bash gay people. Yeah, I mean, not the smartest thing in the world. God, how awkward was it when the interview was over and Tim is still on the line and Dan is pretty much dark? They're going into commercial. I mean, was there anything said between like Dan and Tim, or like how was that interaction?
No, it went right back to Hawkman, really. And he had him on speaker in the studio. So our studios are separated from Dan and Stugatz. And I was with Mark Hawkman and Mike Ryan, in the Wii board controller and things like that. And he brought him in the speakerphone and was just like, hey, Tim. yeah, thanks, man. And he's just like, yeah, thanks for having me on. Everything was good, right?
Yeah. Like, we'll call you next week.
Yeah. We'll call you. You don't call us type thing. It was real. I mean, it was palpable, man. I'm not kidding. It was palpable. I think it was a cross between, we knew we just crossed a line of national news, which is great for the radio show. You just got ratings. But you just hit a humanitarian line of, that was all fucked up, everything he just said, and it sucks.
It's a fine line as a host, too, because you want to get the information without exploiting it to a degree where everybody's very aware that you're exploiting this for your own personal gain. But at the same time, I mean, that's kind of like why Dan is who he is that he's able to do that. But man, what an incredible, like I said, dude, you walk into a blizzard and Chris Cullen's going to find the ray of sunlight. I mean, you happen to be working there when basically Dan's career he got a rocket shoved up his ass and he's been flying to the moon ever since, because in large part, in my opinion, because of that interview, because of what he was able to get out of Tim Hardaway and really expose the double standard of, quite frankly, an African-American man who's been oppressed, most likely in this country, oppressing others, and really just revealing what the athlete's mindset was, at least for some, and probably more that have never come out and said anything, what they feel about gay people in locker rooms and, you know, on their team and everything. That's incredible. So you leave there, and like you said, you're married, you have a kid, and you move to North Carolina. And you started doing improv, which I hate. I fucking hate improv comedy. I just did a show where I wasn't able to do my own stand-up material. I had to basically have it picked for me, and then I had to just riff on whatever topic they gave me. And I wanted to murder every motherfucker in the room. Like, I just – I hated it. I didn't want to do it. I just basically told you, fuck you, next topic, fuck you, next topic, because I didn't like it. You know, I like to be able to plan my shit out. But you thrive in that type of scenario. Like, somebody gives you a situation, and you're going to go out and just kill it.
Yeah, yeah. So I grew up loving Whose Line Is It Anyway and Ryan Stiles and Colin and Wayne Brady and these guys. And it's just one of those things where I got the opportunity because I wanted to do it.
Let me ask you this, because I don't want to spend too much time on improv because I fucking hate it. But what is the worst thing that has happened while on a stage doing improv? Because people are yelling shit out at you, right?
Oh, yeah. It's always from the first scene.
Yeah, so was there ever just a scene where you're on stage and somebody yelled something out and you just wanted to be like, who said that? Like, whose suggestion was that? I'm not doing that. Or this is I want to crawl into a hole and die because I now have to just roll with whatever this idiot said. Is that ever happened on stage, or were you just totally fine with it?
Absolutely. So we're in a scene where it was me and another guy. He's a black male. But one of us were the wife, and we hadn't decided yet who the wife was in the scene. We were both kind of going back and forth, and they kept yelling out things like, you're cooking a turkey. And we're like, oh, we're cooking a turkey. And you have to add it to your scene. Oh, you're in the 1950s. Okay, we're in the 1950s. And we kind of looked at each other because it's like he's black. We're like, hey, 1950s? Like, and that got a laugh out of the crowd. And then someone was like, you've got AIDS.
Oh, great.
And we're just like, I mean, fucking what? Like, who? And we both at the same time looked out in the crowd with this face of disgust. Like, that's it? That's what you're giving us? Okay, fine. And we played it off. He mentioned the green monkey, and we were having that for dinner, and it ended up being all right. But it was just, like you said, improv is fun. It's a blast 98% of the time. 2% of the time, you have these dicks in the crowd.
Yeah, I mean, that you have AIDS. I'd be like, and you are being escorted. Like, that's
yeah. Get him the fuck out of here. I don't care if he paid 10 bucks to come in.
You get 10 bucks for your show? Shit, I'm doing it wrong. all right, so after that, I mean, the last thing I want to talk about is I had no idea what this was, and this was a couple of years ago, but you were a thrillcaster.
Yes.
What in the hell is a thrillcaster?
All right, so a thrillcaster is this guy. So Carowinds is Cedar Fair. Cedar Fair is most known for Cedar Point in Ohio. If anybody's familiar of, I guess the nickname is like roller coaster country. They kind of call it like the roller coaster capital of the world, or the country at least, in Ohio. They have 300-foot coasters, 400-foot coasters, like unbelievable coasters everywhere in Cedar Point. The problem is Cedar Point is built on an island, so they can't expand because there's water surrounding them. So Cedar Fair bought Carowinds and multiple other parks from Paramount Pictures in like 06 or 07. And that's Carowinds here in right on the border of North and South Carolina. So they had these coasters. They're doing all right for themselves, but not a big park, Carowinds. Cedar Fair said, you know what? We're going to change that. There's a lot of land there in North and South Carolina. We want to make this the Cedar Point of the Southeast. So they put over $50 million into an expansion of Carowinds last year. And they announced this big deal, this thrillcaster. They wanted a fan, somebody that had no experience, that was not a reporter or anybody that was tied to the news stations in the Carolinas, anybody nationally, just a fan that had a gold pass the year before, a season pass holder that's been to this theme park, that loved it and can prove it and can show it. Send us a 3-minute video and we're going to pick a winner to be our thrillcaster to literally unveil this Fury 325 roller coaster, which is the tallest, fastest giga coaster in the world, 325 feet high. So this contest happened. I had mentioned it to my wife a couple of times. Hey, I should do it. She said, yeah, you should. Eh, don't do it. Hey, I should do this. Yeah, you should. Don't do it. Finally, I messenger, text messenger. I'm like, hey, it's the last day of that Thrillcaster competition. And Charlotte, my wife, it's the last day of submitting videos. And she sits there at like 11 p.m. at night. She goes, what the fuck do you have to lose? So 3 minutes, I had no script, nothing. I went on about why I should be the Thrillcaster. I even messed up in the middle of it, laughed, looked right in the camera. I said, see that though? I picked up right where I left off. You know I'm good for the count. And I kept going. So I submitted it and I read the small little writing at the bottom of the entry. And it said, we're going to pick a winner by Friday at this date, whenever it was, end of November, beginning of December. Friday came and went, got no call. So the weekend came, I lived my life, didn't think anything of it. Went to work Monday and I get a phone call from a 704 number. Let it go to voicemail like everybody does if it's on your phone book.
Yeah, that's a bill collector. Fuck that. Yeah.
Googled the number and it said, Carowinds. And I checked the voicemail and said, hey, we unanimously picked you to be our Thrillcaster. We want you to come by the offices. So long story short, I go to the offices. They chose me to be the Thrillcaster. I got to see this amazing Giga roller coaster, the Fury 325, be built from the ground up. But I got to ride the Fury 325 before anyone. Like, only family members of executives of Cedar Fair rode while I did, like at the same time. So I rode that thing like 13 times in one day while they filmed commercials and internet spots and pictures for the ride of folks on it. It's a great ride. If anybody's anywhere near Charlotte, North Carolina, the Fury 325 is awesome.
Jeez, are they still paying you? You just fucking cut a promo for them for 5 minutes right there. That's great. So there it is, man. Thrillcaster, improv comics / freaking sports radio employee, Chris Cullen. You can find him weekly on the show Perfectville, which is him and I talking about football. And he's very calm right now. He's on the East Coast. I'm on the West Coast. It's going on midnight for him. He's been drinking beer and being a man over there. So he's a little more calm than he normally is. When you get him on the topic of football, all of a sudden he's going like 40 miles an hour and he's talking and he's throwing out all these crazy stats and plays and all this other shit. So if you like the Miami Dolphins and you like comedy, which means, you know, if you're a Miami Dolphins fan, you better like comedy because we've been a joke for 20 freaking years. Check out that show again. You can find that at welcometoperfectville.com. Chris, thank you very much for joining me here today. And I will, I guess I'll talk to you soon because I talk to you like 3 times a week at least.
Yeah, it's getting kind of ridiculous at this point.
I imagine you're like, I can sometimes, because we do this over Skype, I can just like hear his wife, like, how long are you going to be talking to him?
It's like, let's watch a Megan Horror Story. Get out here.
Hurry up.
Hey, UFC 205 Saturday. That's going to be a great event. If anybody is a big MMA fan, holy shit, this is like the biggest pay-per-view of the year. I'm excited for it.
Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. If you like
it's random, I guess. I'm sorry.
Random plug for UFC.
Why did you start working for UFC,
Chris? Did you knock on the cage and they just said, sure, go on podcast and plug them whenever you'd like? No, there you go. If you like fighting, I guess UFC is where to go. All right. Well, other than that, man, I'll let you go to bed and drink your beer, do it, all that fun stuff. But again, check out Chris Cullen on Perfectville at welcometoperfectville.com. Chris, thank you very much, sir.
Hey, buddy. Thanks for having me.
Well, timeout. Look, I'm a big sports fan. I'm calling timeout right here in the middle of the podcast. And the reason I'm calling timeout is because I need to talk to you guys about your lack of support on iTunes. It's frustrating, Matt, to say the least.
It's fucking disgusting.
It really is. I mean, look, you don't even have to listen to the podcast on iTunes. I don't care. I don't listen to it on iTunes, quite frankly. But if you have an Apple computer, if you have an iPad, if you have an iPhone or anything Apple, there's a podcast app. It's built in. You have to have it. You just click on that. You type in Predictably Drunk on your little computer or your little phone, and you go in and you rate and review us. You give us 5 stars, and then you say, hey, this is a great podcast. You guys should listen to it. And you know what that does, Matt?
Yeah. No.
Okay, well, that's why we're talking about this right now. That opens up this podcast, much like a college freshman lady, to more people, okay? Mm-hmm. The more love you give us, the more it goes out to more people, and the less we actually have to do of these obnoxious commercials in the middle of your listening experience.
Annoying.
Doesn't that sound nice? It's annoying. I mean, I don't want to talk about this. I want to go talk about stupid,
drunk
news.
I'm sick of this already.
there's a great story that we're about to talk about, and we can't talk about it because we have to do this commercial in the middle. We just have to, guys. And we wouldn't have to if you would just go to iTunes and rate and review us like we've been asking you to for months.
Listen, every one of you is connected in some way. It's an iPhone, it's an iPad, it's an iMac. Okay, you can't deny your connections to the eye. Just click on iTunes, rate it, get it over with. Let's get back to the show.
All right, special thanks to Chris Cullen once again, my other co-host. Matt, are you jealous that I have another podcast and another co-host?
No, I'm just going to pretend like it's not happening, because I think that's what I did when I think I did know about this podcast, but then I heard it was about the Miami Dolphins, and I kind of just I think I just defaulted to pretending like it wasn't happening, much like everyone who's a fan of the NFL in regards to the Miami Dolphins.
There we go. See, you know, I took one shot at your San Jose Sharks on the last
podcast.
And
it's fucking on now.
And now it's on. Now you're taking shots at my Miami Dolphins. And that's fine. If you guys are Miami Dolphins fans and you're listening to this, go ahead and check out Perfectville. You can find it on iTunes. We have shows out there weekly. You can check out Chris and myself weekly on welcometoperfectville.com. Thanks again to Chris. But enough about Chris. And on to more important things there,
sausage.
Matt. Sausage, yes. I found this on newsweek.com. And the headline reads, and I quote, German man accused of damaging car with huge sausage.
Yes. You heard. And he's German too. That's perfect.
Oh yeah, no, this took place in Germany. All the weird shit in the world takes place in Germany. It is quite the place over there. But let me go ahead and read some of this to you. A German man could face a fine after reportedly damaging a car with a large sausage. After taking offense at the way a BMW car had been parked in front of him on a road in the town of Nuremberg, the 49-year-old man argued with the driver before hurling a 30-centimeter, aka 11-inch sausage at the vehicle. So this guy basically took the sausage and threw it out of his car and hit the other car. What does that remind you of, Matt?
A few things, and then I have questions, too. One of the things is the sandwich throw.
That's exactly what it hit me. If you guys have not listened to the Road Rage podcast that Matt and I put together, I told a story about how I got so mad at a guy that I took a sandwich, flung it out of my car, and it splattered all over his windshield and almost caused this guy who was driving with a child to crash his car on the freeway. Now, I know that sounds bad on me just by hearing that description, but it was clearly the other guy's fault if you listen to the podcast.
Yeah, listen to the
this
fucking
guy
episode.
Here. So this guy here, like, you immediately want to – the guy with the 11-inch sausage, you want to say, okay, he needs to be fined and arrested because he damaged the other car. But I'm the guy with the 11-inch sausage in terms of the sandwich here. So I understand, I think, where this guy is coming from. This prick BMW driver is blocking the lanes, and he doesn't know what to do, so he grabs the sausage and throws it. So let me move on. Let me read the rest of this here. Okay. A local police report said in the confrontation that the confrontation built to a physical scuffle between the man and the driver – the sausage strike, meanwhile, left the car with a dent in the driver's side rear door. So the man's 11-inch sausage left a dent in the rear door of the other man.
First of all, I mean, that is indeed an 11-inch sausage. I mean, if that's going to do some damage, folks, that's going to do some damage to the rear.
This is why this is stupid in terms of a stupid drunken news report.
There's
because
a lot
that
of reasons
alone,
why that's stupid.
Oh no, it gets better. Oh. Trust me. The next sentence is quite possibly worthy of a Pulitzer Prize in terms of reporting. It is quite frankly the best reporting I've ever heard in my life. The offending meat product is described in the police file as a Fleischwurst. Well, what is a Fleischwurst,
yes,
you ask?
Yes.
Well, I will tell you, because it's in the goddamn report. A rich, meaty sausage known elsewhere as a bologna or bologna sausage.
Get the fuck out with this report. This can't be real.
This is real. This is straight off Newsweek by way of Nuremberg, Germany. And just to finish off the report, the thrower faces a criminal complaint from the driver for insults, threats, and damage that would be punishable by a fine.
And dickery, yeah.
And dickery. So, so basically, dickery. A road rage incident in Nuremberg, Germany, which, by the way, the last person you ever want to piss off in terms of road rage or anywhere else, I think, would be an actual German person. They, when they get mad at people, they tend to get pissed off and do things that they would later regret. So
yeah,
just be careful, other people out there. If you come across a German, be nice to them because they do weird shit, like throw sausages or, you know, kill an entire populace of people. Things
folks,
like that.
It was in Nuremberg. Like that, yeah, that I think you're going to have to link that because that sounds like a fucking Onion, like World War II joke article. That is intense that that actually happened. What the fuck? Like, I get you having a sandwich that you got, but you just didn't have time to eat and you were going to eat it, but you just couldn't yet. You had to get where you were going. What's this dude doing rolling around with an 11-inch sausage?
I'm assuming he went to the deli, you know, and he got himself a nice Fleischwurst, as the report, you know, tells us. And he was getting the best part about the link. I'm going to link it. They have a big old picture of a sausage, just in case you want to know what a sausage looks like. But
that's
yeah, I mean, this guy is going to get a fine for damaging another man's rear with his 11-inch sausage.
Wow. That's not the first time that's happened.
Oh, and it's probably not the last. I feel like this guy's a serial sausage thrower. I feel like he's throwing sausages at the rear ends of strange men in Nuremberg all the time. And this one happened to just hit the rear end of the vehicle incorrectly. And now we have, you know, criminal mischief.
Possibly the best news story we've shared on this show.
It definitely qualifies as stupid, if not drunken news, does it not?
It's up there.
And that's what we do here on Predictably Drunk. We rate and review beers. We talk to people in the industry, the comedy industry, and then we do stupid drunken news. Just we don't want to give you too much highbrow, so we bring it back down. We're talking about our sausage.
We just want to have fun.
That's what we do. We're just girls that want to have fun, as Cyndi Lauper once told us.
Great music video, by the way. That's my second movie recommendation, which is not a movie at all. But it's a music video, tons of wrestlers in there. I'm sure you are familiar with that video, Sam.
Captain Lou Albano and George the Animal Steel both make appearances in that music video.
Yes.
And I believe that new segment is called Matt Says a Music Thing.
We just created it. Isn't the Iron Sheik in that as well?
I don't know. I only remember the original scene of them being in the kitchen and Cyndi Lauper prancing and frolicking around like she was a Lost Boys vampire.
It is legit like a 12-minute music video. It's outrageous.
It might as well be a movie. You're correct.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Well, speaking of movies, you won't see me in any movies anytime soon, but you can find me on stage on November 11th at Swirl on the Square in Livermore, California. That is actually a Predictably Drunk production, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
We're producing this. I haven't even brought that up yet, and Matt didn't even know that.
I didn't even know that until just now. I just learned that with everyone else.
It makes sense, though, right? It's a wine bar. This is Predictably
sure.
Drunk. I do comedy as well as podcasting. It's just everything coming together. So we're doing a free show, ladies and gentlemen, with Irish Dave, who's actually from Ireland, Chelsea Beers from New York, Kabir Singh from Family Guy, and soon to be recording for Comedy Central, as well as myself and a couple of other local comics. We'll be being stupid for your pleasure. Again, November 11th, Swirl on the Square. Make reservations. The place is almost already completely reserved out, which is fantastic. Thank you guys very much. November 12th, I will be back at Spice Monkey, back by popular demand at Spice Monkey in Oakland on November 12th. I believe tickets are $10. Check it out. It's the only place in downtown Oakland that has free parking, ladies and gentlemen. So
great.
Check it out. It's a fantastic show. And then I'm going to be announcing some other dates later, but you guys can go on to PredictablyDrunk.com and check out my calendar there. I believe I'm going to be at the Sacramento Punchline November 20th. I'm going to be at Jesus Christ, Tommy T's, another Predictably Drunk production.
I'm telling you, people, he is a busy guy.
Comedy, what are we doing? We're calling it Project Battleground, and we're producing an 8-man roast battle tournament.
Oh.
So basically, head-to-head roast battles between your favorite comedians here in the Bay Area, 2 minutes back-to-back, and then after that, the judges are going to decide who moves on for fabulous, fabulous cash and prizes, one-night-only tournament. I will be hosting the entire thing, as well as challenging people to come up on stage and try your best to roast me, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to be a fantastic time, December 1st. And there's some other dates on there. I can't remember. I've been drinking. Again, Celebration Ale is like 7%. I'm in like my third one. Just go on the calendar. PredictablyDrunk.com. Check out the calendar. You'll see where I'm going to be at all times in all places.
He's been playing beer pong with himself this entire time. So you just give him a break, okay?
That's not true. My partner in crime is my 11-inch bologna sausage that I'm playing with. This is going off the rails like it normally does around this time of the podcast. Matt, before we leave, is there anything you would like to say, do, promote, or lambast before we leave?
Go fuck yourself, Ross Baker.
There you go, Ross Baker. What say you? This is your chance, Ross Baker. How do you get back at Matt Somerville?
You've been listening to Predictably Drunk, smart people talking about stupid things, with your host, Sam Marcoux, and that other guy. What was his name again? Oh, it doesn't matter. Subscribe to us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio, and find the complete catalog on PredictablyDrunk.com. Until next time, keep drinking. Passenger, that's pale, rustic. I don't think that anyone